Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
It is the Brett Winterbull Show, News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. Great to be here with you. I'll be solo today. Coach Doherty is away, but we'll make up that shortfall, and I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the fact that Neogenics, Coach comes here as a result of being with Neogenics. News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT, Brett Winterbull. Presented by Neogenics, safe, effective, proven science. 704-570-1110 is our number. Be a part of the conversation. I think it is so endlessly fascinating to look at what is happening in our country. Everybody knows that the guy running the show in D.C. is failing. And regular people see that. Regular people know that. But the media, well, the media's all let's go Brandon. That's it. It's incredible to watch the media doing let's go Brandon on every channel you watch. Let's go Brandon. No. Nobody likes this guy. Nobody likes the president of the United States. Nobody thinks he's doing a good job. Look, be honest here, okay? Even if you voted for Biden, you don't have the sign up in your yard. You don't have the bumper sticker on your car. You don't have any of that. You have no displays of that. When Trump vanquished Hillary Clinton, ensuring that she would never, ever be the president of the United States, ever in human history, you drove around with your Clinton cane bumper stickers. You had your banners, you had your signs during the election. I know every house in my neighborhood that had a Biden-Harris sign. And you know what? In a million billion years, I would never go up to anybody in my neighborhood and be like, hey, you're a jerk. Yeah, I remember you. But I know who they are in my mind, and I don't see those signs up now. I do not see signs. I don't see people proudly being like, hey, Biden, he's got it going on. Let me tell you guys something. You don't understand how good Biden is. It could have been so bad with Trump in a second term. Oh, my gosh, it's terrible. No, what you get from people when you talk to them and the people who supported Biden, I have them in my family. I mean, I have these pinko commie leftists in my family. And, you know, anytime you get anywhere near politics, I can hear the sweat through the phone. Even though I'm not going to yell at them because I do this for a living. So, like, I don't yell at people. The reality is doing a talk radio show. And I'll take you behind the curtain here for a quick second because I think this is a hugely important point to understand. People think that if you're a talk show host and you talk about politics or you talk about sports or you do any of that sort of stuff, they think that that's your entire life, 24 hours a day. Randy Rhoads, when he was the guitarist for Ozzy Osbourne, did not walk through a supermarket playing solos. Okay? His job was to be a guitarist. All right? Tom Brady doesn't walk through the airport throwing screen passes in the terminal. Well, of course he doesn't because he probably flies private. But the fact of the matter is, you know, you do something for a living. You don't do it 24/7, 365. I consume a lot of news. I consume a lot of data. But I don't do this 24/7, 365. And what happens is partisans who are amateur pundits or people with a lot of opinions, they think that, like, Rush Limbaugh, when I was working with him, did not walk around constantly going, that Dukakis is really blowing it by getting in the tank. You know what's unbelievable? Read my lips, no new taxes. I can't believe. No, you talk about the stuff that's interesting. You talk about it with the audience. You take phone calls in that regard. But it is not your life that is consumed. And so you can't have a conversation with a Biden voter. First of all, you can't find any. They do not exist. Like, I haven't even seen Jill Biden on TV in like a month of Sundays. So, like, even people named Biden, you don't even see where they are. When they are around, they're hiding out on the beach in Delaware. So you can't even ask them about stuff. I don't know how they're doing these polls, but I can tell you this. Biden's approval numbers are terrible. His approval rating is cratered to 38%, the lowest of his presidency. We're like 259 days into his presidency. And his numbers are below the basement. 60% of independents disapprove. That is a terminal warning sign for anybody in politics. 60% of independents disapprove. 67% of all Americans oppose his border policies. 50% think he has bungled the COVID response. On the economy and taxes, he's underwater by a lot. The border, Afghanistan, my gosh, Afghanistan. If the situation were slightly different with his policy in Afghanistan, doing what he did, and by the way, today's the 20th anniversary of Afghanistan, the invasion of Afghanistan. If you look at the numbers in the Quinnipiac poll, he'd have to go into witness protection. Like, it's that bad. It's like 12% of the people approve of what happened in Afghanistan. Only 5% of Americans on the economy and taxes, only 5% of the Americans surveyed say that they are very satisfied with the way things are going today. That 5% is probably made up of Kamala Harris's husband and Hunter Biden, because he's making a killing with his fake art. That's really it. You've got more than 400,000 expected at the southern border, getting ready to crash our border again. You've got this $1.1, $1.5, $3.5 trillion plan coming in terms of spending. This is a disaster. And I really think that if there were a revote and it was anonymous, I think Biden would not be president. If you could revote everything all the way around, you may not have Trump as president, but you darn sure would not have Biden as president. People have looked at this and they are petrified, because we're only like 259 days into this thing. We have a long, long road to go. A long road to go. And this is what happens when you don't make good decisions, when you make an emotional decision. Bad Orange Man was a bad orange man. He tweeted. He fought with the press. He insurrected. I mean, I'll give you all your ammunition. He was a stooge for Putin. You can say all that stuff that you want to say. But the economy was fine. The unemployment was low. People were going to work. The biggest worry you had was Shifty Schiff impeaching everybody at every turn. You had all that. You had Charamella and Vindman and all the stupidity with the Ukraine impeachment. But you didn't ever see the country go into the ditch, completely into the ditch. You had pockets of success. You could be like, well, you know, I don't like his tweeting, but the economy's really good. I don't like that he talked to the Ukrainian, but the economy's really good. I'm making the most money I've made in years. This is unbelievable. My kid just got 3 offers when he's graduating from college. You had places where you could run to. You don't have that here. And in a minute, I'm going to tell you why it is that you better be ready to come up with an extra $175 a month. Because when Joe Biden got elected, that went to your bottom line, and you cannot escape it.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
News Talk 1110 993 WBT. It is the Brett Winterbull Show. I don't want to come at John Hancock, but I think the spouses were widowed. I think there's a widower situation with Mike and Carol Brady, and that's why they were free agents out there, you know, able to marry and take care of each other's kids. But well, you know what? We'll leave that out there. That's for history. That's for history to understand. 704-570-1110. All right, I told you you're going to be hit with $175 to your bottom line, and you're not going to like it. You're going to hate it, in fact. But first, before I do that, let me talk to Dean. Hello, Dean. Welcome to the program. What's on your mind, sir?
Brett, I need your depth of knowledge and everything. I heard something about it a couple of days ago, and then it was just mentioned on Fox News again, mm-hmm. with the debt extension. Mm-hmm. And they specifically just quoted this little thing, not broadly, but said that it's extended through December and you will still get your Social Security payments. Mm-hmm. Is it an issue, or is it something
No.
that should be tied like that? I didn't think Yeah. they had you know, that was ever part of
it's they bring this up every time there's a potential debt ceiling issue or a shutdown or any of that. It has not happened. We have not missed Social Security payments. We have not missed military payment. I think we did string out the military during the Obama shutdown at one point. But you're going to get your Social Security. People are going to get their Social Security. They're not going to let this thing shut down. This is you have to understand, this is a fear tactic by not just the Biden supporters. It's a fear tactic by the media because it keeps everybody off balance, because the media is not about giving you information. The TV cable media, they're about scaring you and making you toss and turn all night. And that, which I think is disgraceful. So you will continue. Social Security checks will continue to go out.
Oh, good, because I want to keep listening to you, you know?
Of course. I need you to keep listening. You know, that's it. So we'll see as we get closer to December. You know what'll happen. They're going to address this. It's going to get fixed. I don't see this becoming a long-term issue. And what makes me believe that is the fact that the stock market's not cratering, right? The stock market would be cratering if they really thought there was going to be a shutdown.
Yeah, and they could. Can they really do it, though? Can they? I mean, it just seems like there's so many other areas.
Well, you make a good point.
It would destroy the economy.
Well, you make a good point. Could they cut other funding? Of course they could. Why, I wonder, do they say, Social Security and military payments, those are going to be the ones that get taken down first? It's because they know that that's an emotional driver. And that tells you how irresponsible the politicians and the Washington people are. I don't care what party they're in. It's the fact that they would say, let's upset this group of people and this group of people. Two groups that can least bear these pressures to make a political point. That's why they're so disgusting.
Thank you.
Hey, I appreciate you being there, Dean. You call me anytime. Don't let these people scare you into feeling panicked. This is what they do. It's what they do. So $175. Did you know over the past couple of months, a young woman, wife and a mother of a toddler and teenager in Chicago, her name is Allison, says she's been spending about $50 more each week on groceries to feed her family. And that's when she shops at the discount supermarket chain called Aldi's. I used to spend $70 a week, but all of a sudden this summer I noticed I couldn't leave the store without spending at least $120, said Allison, who works in education. Like millions of Americans whose income has not kept pace with inflation, which is up 5.3% in August compared with a year ago, Allison and her family are feeling the pinch of the rising cost of living and giving up things just to make ends meet. Her family's now scrimping. There are no more splurges like Home Depot to buy a plant or even eating out, Allison said. Spurred by supply shortages and massive government spending, inflation has become an added tax on middle-class Americans coming out of the COVID lockdowns. So for households earning the U.S. median annual income of $70,000, the current inflation rate is forcing them to spend another $175 a month on food, fuel, and housing. $175 a month. Now, think about that. That's the equivalent of a full grocery, electric, or cell phone bill. Although government officials have called the inflation transitory, it's not. It's running at a 30-year high, and it's not going to just disappear. So just imagine tonight, your spouse, your parent, the person that you live with comes home and says, I got bad news. We got to come up with another $175 this month. The first thing you're going to say is why. The second thing you're going to say is, oh my gosh, why is this happening? It's happening because Washington, D.C. is pumping cash out into the economy at an alarming rate. And everything is getting more expensive. I've got more details on this straight ahead, and I want to take your reaction.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Action as well. News Talk 1110 993 WBT. It is the Brett Winterbull Show. Everything got more expensive. I mean, everything has gotten more expensive. Can I give you some examples of pricing here? Let's say you drink a 12-pack of a popular soda that starts with a P. In 2020, your 12-pack was $3.33. This year, it's $5.95. Dozen grade A eggs last year, $1.25. This year, $1.50. Pringles, Last year, $1.50. This year, $1.70. Perhaps you're an aficionado of that fancy sauce called A1. And the fancy people have that in their house. I don't ever have A1 in my house. That's fancy. I'm not fancy. Last year, it was $4.75. This year, it is $5 for a bottle of A1. And it just, you go down the list, it just goes Folgers ground coffee. That price is up. Perhaps you like the Kraft Philadelphia cream cheese. Dove body wash. Hey, this is serious. Have you used that body wash stuff? It was $6.75. Now it's $7.50. So across the spectrum of a year, it's expensive. Stuff gets way more expensive. Go try to buy wings. Even you get the flappers and you get the drums. That's expensive stuff. I mean that is. I know a guy who's been telling me off the air that he's going to start a wing place, but it's all going to be tips. He's just going to do tips, just those tips that spare hunk that you don't ever use except for, I don't know what you use it for. You deep fry it and you wrap it in bacon and call it a popper? I don't know what you're doing. I think it's all cartilage. So this is a serious thing because like every one of these dollars that's flowing out of your bottom line is flowing out of your bottom line. And this is crazy. And the president and the administration deserve a critique in this regard. The number of U.S. households reporting that it's very difficult to pay their usual expenses has increased by 8% since August to 26.5 million, according to the October 6 Census Bureau's Household Pulse Survey. Guess who's starting to hear from people in mass? Debt relief lawyers. Debt relief lawyers are saying their business is exploding because of all of the stuff that's going on. This is a very, very serious matter. Let me grab another call here. Stan is up next. Hello, Stan. Welcome to the program.
How you doing, Brett?
I'm good. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, I have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
You were talking a while ago about not being able to live and breathe this stuff 24/7.
Yes.
And I know you work with Rush, and one of the things Rush was really good about is letting us get to know him.
Mm-hmm.
So what I want to find out from you is how do you, like, since you do this for a living, how do you walk away from it? Who is Brett? Does he love golf? And if you go out to parties and socials and you see people with all kinds of views in politics, how do you interact with people so as not to cause issues? And how do you do all of that once you do this for a living?
Okay, so I'm a social person. I love talking to people of a variety of backgrounds. I don't take my politics shouldn't be who I am, and people's politics shouldn't be who they are. It should just be like what you believe, what you think. Go vote, and let's see what happens, right? So I don't go after people for their politics. If they're super liberal or super conservative, and we talk about things, I find that when you have a conversation one on one with people, it's very different than what you see on the cable channels. Okay, so I just try to talk to everybody, and I try to be a polite person. I rarely do I have people blow up at me in person, but I've had people have interactions with my family members or with me on an email or something. And, you know, that's always kind of there can be a tense situation. But I always say, listen, if you've got an issue, I'm here for 3 hours every day and you can call me and call me out on my issue or talk about what I'm talking about, or you can raise an issue. I'm a big believer in the conversation. You know, that's what it is. I don't think politics should ever come to violence or yelling or screaming or anything like that. Now, working with Rush, he was an avid golfer. I don't golf, but I'm not opposed to golfing. I have other pursuits that I try to unwind with. I do like auto sports a lot. I like NASCAR. I like car racing. Big fan of college football. Big fan of sports, you know, consuming sports. And that helped me a lot, especially as I was getting into political talk, advancing across the spectrum here, because you got to be able to check out. And I will tell you this. I'll give you a secret that I think is hugely important. You do have to check out. I can't watch news like on Saturday and Sunday morning. OK, I cannot let that take over my life. I want to be with my family, with my kids, with my wife. I want to spend time just being present in the moment and that sort of stuff. So I try to avoid it unless there's a breaking news or a horrible tragedy. you know, I'll find out on my phone that that's what's happened, then I'll start consuming it. But on a Saturday, I'm not sitting in front of Fox or MSNBC or CNN. I'm not watching the news on Saturday. I'm not watching it on Sunday morning. I'm trying to get to church. And, you know, I try to be a well-rounded person, then reset. I start resetting Sunday night with the late football game and start getting back into things. But that's pretty much what I do. I'm a regular, ordinary guy who loves living in America in 2021, regardless of the politics.
So I have two questions for me. I'll put you on the spot. Who's your favorite college football team? Who do you pull for? And do you have a favorite driver?
My driver is Kurt Busch. I've been a Kurt Busch fan for a long time, since he was the 97 Sharpie guy. College football is tough because, I'll tell you why, I am a person who did not go to a college that had any kind of a sports world. Okay, so we didn't have a team at my college. We were undefeated since 1880. I root for, do I dare say it? Do I say what I'm rooting for? I actually root for, I like the bold.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
News Talk 1110-993 WBT. See, now with Stan's call, I got to thinking like about a bunch of stuff, because yeah, I have a lot of different. I have a mixture of sport allegiances, but they go by sport. So that I'm just going to say that, and I will say, just I've let the audience know that I am a Cowboys fan, but I am excited for the Panthers. I mean, genuinely and sincerely, I'm excited for the Panthers. I am a Red Sox fan. I hate the Yankees. And I've hated the Yankees since I was a child. I was a Sox fan during the curse. I remember 78 and Bucky Dent and all that, and I 86 and Bill Buckner. I suffered through all of that horribleness. And so that's probably the Celtics and the Sox are probably my deepest allegiances with the Cowboys. And then college football, though, I love that I get to enjoy like so much football here. That is what's great. And racing, because this is a paradise in that regard. 704-570-1110 is the phone number. All right, let me get back into a couple of these other things, too. And certainly you are welcome to jump in. So we have these global supply shortages. I want to talk about these things because we will talk about the heavy political stuff. Next hour, we'll have Jeffrey Lord come by. We'll talk about Biden policies and things like that. But the shortages that you're seeing, the food shortages that you're seeing, the inflation that's out there, all of that is hearkening back in many ways. And I would defer to many people in this audience who have a deeper remembrance of it than even I do. And that is of the 70s, of the Carter years. But remember, the 70s, when you had your high interest rates, when you had A and B days to fill up your gasoline, you had gas shortages, you had all this sort of stuff. The difference between what happened then and what is happening now is everything that's happening now in the United States is basically self-inflicted. We opened the border. We shut down the Keystone XL pipeline. We have pumped out a bunch of money, and we're fighting to pump out another $3.5 trillion that we don't even have about there into the rest of the world. We are not victims of OPEC. We were net energy exporters. And you had Ron Klain come in and tell Joe Biden that you have to sign these executive orders to destroy the Keystone XL pipeline. And now, last week, you find out that Joe Biden made a phone call to OPEC and the Russians begging them to pump more. And OPEC and the Russians said no. I mean, we'll pump a little more, but we're not going to give you what you need. So to kind of use a car analogy, a car racing analogy, we've tweaked the setup of the car. We've tweaked the setup of the economy, and we have done it exactly wrong. And it's very hard to go back to what it was we had to start the race, because what we had to start the race was a good economy. All we had to start the race was COVID. And we had the parts of the economy that were shut down because of the COVID-19. But we didn't have a wide open border that brought you 2 million people across this border illegally into the United States. And what are those people now competing for? They're going to compete for jobs, and they're going to compete for resources, food, stuff at the supermarkets. I mean, those are all pressures that exist. So Tyler Durden, I know it's not his real name, Tyler Durden over at Zero Hedge has a piece that he's posted up connected back to Charles Hughes Smith of Two Minds blog. The era of abundance was only a short-lived artifact of the initial boost phase of globalization and financialization. He's arguing in this piece that the shortages are going to be permanent and global supply shortages make fantastic financial sense for the big multinational corporations. He notes, global corporations didn't go to all the effort to establish quasi-monopolies and cartels for our convenience. They did it to ensure reliably large profits from control and scarcity. Not all scarcities are artificial, i.e. the result of cartels limiting supply to keep prices high. Many scarcities are real, and many of the scarcities can be traced back to the stripping out of redundancy, the multiple suppliers of industrial essentials to streamline efficiency and eliminate competition. Competition and abundance are, in his argument, anathema to profits. Wide open competition and structural abundance are the least conducive setting for generating reliably ample profits, while quasi-monopolies and cartels that control scarce supplies are the ideal profit-generating machines. That's all true, but for the instance of government running it. And I'll tell you how that is. Because government took over all the student loans, right? The banks bailed out on the student loans, so there's no profitability there anymore. So the government can mess up that market. Look at flood insurance. Only the government can issue you flood insurance, right? What does that do? That distorts the market. It's only one supplier. The incentives to expand the number of suppliers, increasing competition, are effectively zero. America's corporations spent $11 trillion buying back their own stocks over the last decade. That's equal to the combined GDP of Japan, Germany, and Italy. If adding new suppliers to the global supply chain were profitable, some of the $11 trillion would have exploited those vast profits. But what they want is they want the ability to manage your resources, your groceries, your foodstuffs, your utilities, all those sorts of things, so that they can be managed in such a way as to set a profitability point and they can then adjust the supply accordingly. I mean, if we all know that high-speed internet is the way to go, why is it that in any given place, maybe you have one, two, three at the most possible suppliers for your internet? Why shouldn't you be able to have hundreds of suppliers for your internet? Because you've got cartels that have been set up, and not drug cartels, but they all run in the same sort of fashion. You've got a limited group of people who've been approved by government, and government has the final say. I'm Brett Winterbull, News Talk 1110, 99.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
3WBT. News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. It is the Brett Winterbull Show, 704-570-1110. And it is great to be with you. Something funny is going on as it relates to what it is that's happening out there with, of course, Merrick Garland and his desire to surveil you parents that are upset and complaining about mask mandates, vaccine mandates, and CRT. Now we know that you've got approval on the vaccines to go to children as young as five. So you know what that means. If you're going to children as young as five, that means that at some point, through a variety of channels, there's going to be an institution of a vaccine mandate one way or another in the culture. I know they've been creeping it out and pushing it out and rolling it out, but there is there is now going to be a huge, huge impetus to push for this. Why? Well, because government really is just about control. I mean, honestly, that's all it comes down to. The government is just about control. They want to control your lives. They want to tell you what you can do, where you can live, what you can eat. All that sort of stuff. That's really all it comes down to. They just want you to play ball. And I wonder about this, right? I wonder what the outcome is. If in fact at some point we find out that something was wrong or the position was incorrect or what have you, and everybody in the media, right? Let's be honest, almost everybody on television, cable television, what have you, is taking the exact same position. Oh, we need vaccine passports. We need vaccine passports to get into restaurants. We need vaccine passports to get into theaters. We need vaccine passports to get into a gym, to get into a hospital, to work at a hospital, to work at a gym, to work at a restaurant, all that kind of stuff. And if it turns out that they're all wrong, if it turns out, like, we find out, oh, my gosh, antibodies were the way to go, and that's the thing that we should have been focused on, you know what's going to happen? The entirety of the media out there are going to just act like they didn't, they never heard about that. What do you mean? They memory hole everything, and that's why I wanted to go to this issue right out of the box, and it is this idea of Merrick Garland deploying the Department of Just Us against people who are in disagreement with the teachers' unions and the establishment education institutions. Now, the Associated Press did a fact check that falsely claimed that the school board group that wanted the FBI and the Department of Just Us to target, quote, domestic terrorists who were anti-CRT, anti-vaccine mandates. The AP says, no, that was false. Nobody called the parents domestic terrorists. Now, I had the letter, and in fact, I tweeted it out. If you go on my Twitter page, at Winterbull Show, you can read the 7-page letter. We did this last week when I was in D.C. I went through this story. After Attorney General Merrick Garland ordered the FBI to combat, quote, threats of violence against school administrators, the Associated Press falsely fact-checked a claim that the National School Board, that's the National Association of School Boards, you can find them, they're on the internet, prompted the policy labeling parents as domestic terrorists. Last week, the National School Boards Association, a nonprofit organization that represents school boards around the country, wrote the Biden administration a letter claiming that public school officials are, quote, facing physical threats because of propaganda purporting the false inclusion of critical race theory within classroom instruction and curricula. This propaganda continues, despite the fact that critical race theory is not taught in public schools and remains a complex law school and graduate school subject well beyond the scope of the K-12 class, the letter emphasized. Without citing specific cases of serious violence or threats that would warrant the FBI's intervention for crimes squarely in the realm of local police departments, the NSBA said, quote, these acts of malice, violence, and threats should be classified as domestic terrorism. In fact, the quote from the letter is this: as these acts of malice, violence, and threats against public school officials have increased, the classification of these heinous actions could be the equivalent to a form of domestic terrorism and hate crimes. As such, NSBA requests a joint expedited review by the U.S. Departments of Justice, Education, and Homeland Security, along with the appropriate training, coordination, investigations, and enforcement mechanisms from the FBI, including any technical assistance necessary from and state and local coordination with its National Security Branch and Counterterrorism Division, as well as any other federal agency with relevant jurisdictional authority and oversight. They want to deploy the Department of Justice, the FBI, the National Security Branch, and the Counterterrorism Division against you because you are a domestic terrorist. AP says that that wasn't the case. According to the Associated Press, conservatives on social media are lying when they claimed the NSBA asked the Biden administration to label parents to protest school policies as domestic terrorists. No, they wanted the investigation to find out if they were domestic terrorists and then label those people as domestic terrorists. Just like if you went to Washington, D.C. anytime from the end of December to the end of January of 2021, then you're probably an insurrectionist. That's what they told you. That's what Pompadour Joe tells you in the morning with his loyal sidekick, Mika. They all tell you you're an insurrectionist if you went to D.C. in that month. Right around the rioting that took place. The organization is not asking Biden to label parents who protest at school board meetings as terrorists, asserted the Associated Press. The NSBA asked the administration to do an interagency investigation of threats of violence against school board members and said the threats could be the equivalent to a form of domestic terrorism and hate crimes. You're labeling the people that go to the events as terrorists. The Associated Press and the Associated Press writers are clearly staking out a position here. Well, NSBA CEO Chip Slavin told the Associated Press that conservatives' characterizations of the group's position were absolutely false. That's a lie, because when Viola Garcia did the interview with CNN and we played you the audio, they had a bunch of images and montages and sound of people acting out, yelling and screaming and threatening and doing this and doing that. And then they used that as the setup for the fact that we needed to have the NSBA get the federal government involved. The fact of the matter is, they literally said it. And the fact of the matter is, Merrick Garland is now feeling a little heat because we all found out that Merrick Garland's son-in-law, Zan, is a publisher of a bunch of CRT books, and people are starting to ask questions. Wait a minute, Merrick Garland. Why are you suddenly ratcheting up the federal investigation of American citizens who are expressing their protected political speech at these school boards? At what point does Merrick Garland recommend that maybe we nationalize the school boards under federal authority and we don't have any more meetings with you troublemakers? Think it won't happen? Bet me.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. All right, this is going to be an interactive segment. You're going to like this. So I'm going to take you behind the curtain in the world of broadcasting. I got TJ right here, just a matter of feet away from me. And there is something that I want you to hear because it took place last night in the post game of the Dodgers beating the Cardinals. And Max Scherzer was being interviewed by TBS. You're going to hear him talk and you're going to think he's intoxicated. He's not intoxicated. There's something else at play here. And I want to let you hear this, and I want to give you like a little broadcast 101 about what it is that's going on here with poor Max Scherzer. Go.
In the fourth inning, I felt like I got in direction better with my elbow, and so I felt like from then I was starting to exit my fastball to my slider, and so at that point, that's when I felt like I was starting
right,
pitches better.
Pauses. That's pretty bad, right? He sounds like maybe he's had like a number of them in the clubhouse.
Yeah.
You and I both know full well what's happening to him. You and I both know what is happening to him. All right, continue the clip. This is poor Max Scherzer trying to talk to the guys on TBS.
But hats off up to the Cardinals for their ability to, you know, spoil pitches, foul off pitches, and just extend at bats. So they were great tonight.
Max, this is Grandy. I know you are one of the most focused guys getting ready for a game, but at what point did you recognize your former teammates, Kevin Long and Juan Soto, in the stands wearing your Nationals jerseys, and what did it mean like to have both of those guys there cheering you on?
Yeah, Kalon told me a couple days ago, you got to get rid of this echo.
He's got mixed minus issues. See?
Can't talk.
He's got
drunk.
He goes, I can't talk. I'm drunk. He's not.
You're
drunk.
Doing fine. Keep it up. I'm doing good. All right. Let me try this again. Now, to see Kalon and Soto here, it just means the world. When you were on the series together.
He's getting. So what's happening, folks, is he's getting himself back from the studio. It's a mixed minus issue. And it's really hard. I've everybody who's ever done live radio has had that happen to them at some point, and you really have limited options. Basically, all you can do is take the headphones off your head and just hope that they're not asking you questions. But here's the thing that compounded it. If you look at Max Scherzer in the interview, he's standing there with a headset on with a microphone, and he's got no shirt on. He's not even wearing it. He's standing there completely topless. And he's going, and I can't with that. And you're looking at it, you're going, somebody's got to know that they booked a guy who was not really prepared to get on TV. No, he was getting himself back. So every time he's saying a word, he's hearing it right back at him. And that's why he's going, I'm trying to figure out what. It's a very frustrating situation there.
Yeah.
But it even happened to him. Now, you might feel differently for him if he had a shirt on. He's really, let me tell you something. That man is rat belly white. I mean, he is extremely, he's nearly translucent. But that's what he was getting. He was getting himself back. And that's why he was freaking out a little bit. Because I'm listening to this, I'm going, this guy's got problems. Like, what happened to this guy? How did you pitch? You seem a little wobbly. Jim in San Diego. Jim, what's going on?
Yes. Hello, Brent. Thank you for having me on again.
Yes, sir.
And we have somebody sitting in again today.
Hello. Hi.
Hello.
How about
that? Is that Max Scherzer?
That's Jimmy of San Diego.
Jimmy and Jim. Oh, good to have you guys on here. Welcome to the program.
Yes. And he was just extolling the virtues of the Chargers.
Oh, that's very good. Up in L.A., yeah. They left you.
Well, they're just down the road.
They fled. They got out of San Diego. This is terrible. I see they should be dead to you now. You should be like, you guys ran away. You went up the road. I can't be with you anymore.
I understand the decision. I understand. The city council city manager system here in San Diego wasn't the political machine that they needed to build their future. So I actually respect the decision, and the decision came down to Alex Spanos' daughter was the deciding factor.
Mm-hmm.
And, they just had to go where their future was.
Greener pastures. I get it. That's fine. I would never have left because it was, you have the town to yourself. You have that whole area to yourself, and instead now you're backpacking with the Rams.
Well, that's what the Spanos has wanted. The Spanos says they're dyed in the wool San Diego. Mm. They did not want to have to leave, but business is business. And but Jimmy's still a fan. I have.
That's good. That's good. Support. You want to support the team, then. That's important.
Yes. We watch the games together all the time.
Oh, that's awesome.
And so he's a team. In my opinion, he's got the opportunity to watch the Chargers at their best. Ever.
Oh, well, that's without a doubt. The team is substantially improved with the addition of that quarterback that you now have from Oregon, and that's a good move there. Jim, what did you want to say about the government wanting to eliminate small businesses?
Well, what I was saying is that they want to control everything, like you say. They want to dictate the free market on their terms. They don't want it to proliferate and to succeed on its own and have free competition. And the place where that happened, the place where it all started, is where Obama, when Christopher Dodd and Nancy Pelosi were laying the groundwork to create the mortgage crisis, the exact legislation that they should have introduced was what Teddy Roosevelt introduced against the oil and steel companies, was to start breaking them up, Antitrust Act, so that the ability of the U.S. government to control them and monitor them would be enhanced to the point where they would have a free market system. But they didn't do that. They let them run wild. They got more powerful. And that's when you had Obama jump in bed with the social media conglomerates, the Internet companies.
Yes. Well, you're right about that. Yes. I agree with you 100% in that regard. Good to talk to you, Jim and Jimmy. I appreciate you guys being out there. But here's the thing that I want to say about that's a hugely important thing to know, okay? You had to incubate those companies for a period of time, but once these things took off like rockets, you didn't have to let them take everything with them. And now they are the algorithm that controls everybody, right? You heard that from Frances Haugen. As much as I believe she is a partisan hack, you heard that from Frances Haugen saying, listen, it's the algorithms determine everything. Well, if that's the case, that's no good. We cannot have the algorithms determining everything. That's going to lead to crisis, and we're going to end up becoming slaves as individuals to the institutions there that are running the algorithms. It's a frightening prospect. We will lose our freedom. We will lose our choice. We will lose all of it at the hands of, quote, the algorithm. That's the way you get to a real tech.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Tyranny. News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. It is the Brent Winterbull Show. 704-570-1110. We'll grab a call real quick here. Brian, welcome to the program. What's on your mind today, sir? Hello, Brian. Brian going once, Brian going twice. Well, we have no Brian. Brian was going to challenge me as to what I said about these big tech algorithms taking effect and how it results in all of us becoming put into a position where we don't have freedom or liberty because the computers are going to make every decision for you. And essentially, you're going to be compelled to live under the tyranny. And I do believe you're talking about a loss of your freedom if you let these algorithms make all those big decisions. I want to welcome to the show Jeffrey Lord. You know him from his terrific work at the American Spectator. He was he's a veteran of the Reagan White House and an absolutely terrific writer and a visionary in so many ways. And I want to welcome him to the show. Hello, Jeffrey. Good to have you back.
Hello there, my friend. Brett, how are you?
I'm doing very, very well. You and I bet, are doing way better than Joe Biden's approval numbers right now, because this Quinnipiac poll that comes out that has questions of his the questions of the competency of the administration, questions of his approval rating at 38% now, not even 260 days into his administration. This is shocking, Jeffrey.
Yeah, it is. And I've been looking at the poll and the statement that came along with it from their polling analysts, and they specifically used these words: battered on trust, doubted on leadership, and challenged on overall competency to describe President Biden's situation. I mean, I have to tell you, as you know, Brett, I'm a history buff.
And, yes.
You know, I sit here in my home library with books beginning with W for Washington and going up now to B for Biden. Mm-hmm. I've done a lot of reading on this stuff. I've worked in the White House myself for President Reagan. I simply can't recall a president who has started out and in his first 9 months, 10 months now, has proved to be such an utter disaster. And it doesn't matter where you're talking. I mean, the other day I went to get gas and wound up paying $3.35 a gallon.
Wow.
You know, you go to the grocery store, the price of everything yep. is up. Then there's Afghanistan. And not to mention what we're all seeing on the border.
That's right.
And I guess there's thousands more headed our way. This, no matter where you turn, this is a disaster. And, you know, the sad thing is we're stuck with it for another 3 years.
So when you look at this approval rating cratering the way it is, and you look at the unpopularity of this president, and in many ways, let's be honest, because of the chants that are happening at public events and then the attempted cleanup by the media to say they're not saying what they're saying. What they're saying is, let's go, Brandon, you know, all that sort of stuff.
Let's go, Brandon.
Let's go. I mean, you can buy they have the flags for sale now on Amazon. You can actually have those flags in your yard as the new message, which is an incredible thing. But here's the thing, Jeffrey, you're a veteran of politics. You're a veteran of looking at history and things like that. Does this become dangerous for the Republic when this man is so unmoored from the reality of things? I think he's got like a 3% approval on the Afghanistan handling. I mean, everything is bad. Does that put us in jeopardy as a country with a man this unpopular at the helm?
It decidedly very much does. One of the things that I learned in the Reagan era, if you may remember, in August of 1981, against the advice of all kinds of people, President Reagan fired the air traffic controllers.
Yes.
They went on strike, and they weren't allowed to strike. Well, he did this, and eventually it got worked out. But the fact that he did it, we later found out, was duly noted by the Soviet Union.
Mm-hmm.
And they began to realize that he was a man of his word. You can believe that the Chinese, the Russians, the North Koreans, the Iranians are looking at Joe Biden and seeing, you know, this overall incompetency, and they're going to take advantage of it. And I think, you know, already we've started to see this percolate with Taiwan mm-hmm. and China. I mean, this is not good, because foreign leaders, particularly those who are our adversaries, watch a president of the United States and take a measure of his character and his competency. And they're seeing what everybody else is doing, and I think they, plan accordingly.
And let's be honest. I mean, let's really drill down on this for a quick second. Jeffrey Lord, joining us here on the show. When Reagan was president, and he had George Bush as his vice president. Obviously, different styles. Obviously, different worldviews and worldviews, sort of generally speaking, but not in terms of the security of the United States. There was no doubt that if God forbid anything happened to Ronald Reagan, George Bush would defend this republic and would take on the Russians and take a firm stance. Here we have somebody in as vice president who. I don't even know how we characterize Vice President Harris, except somebody who's kind of just in it for the ride right now. I really, literally, I don't know what we're talking about. They're going to go to Mexico. They're going to go to Mexico, her and Tony Blinken, and they're not talking about immigration.
Right, right. And she's the border czar, and she never goes down. You know, one of the more amusing tales in presidential politics is when Richard Nixon ran in 1968, he picked Maryland Governor Spiro Agnew, who was very controversial, as his running mate. And Nixon referred to Agnew as his insurance policy. And I think it is safe to say that Joe Biden looks at Kamala Harris as his insurance policy. Well, they're not going to impeach me because they don't want her.
It's incredible. I look at this and I just say, we go Biden, then we go to Harris, then we go to Pelosi, then we go to who's the fourth person up? Is it DiFi or
it's the president of the Senate, whoever that is.
Is that Pat Leahy? I think it's Pat Leahy, right?
Yeah.
Oh
yeah,
gosh,
yeah, that's exactly right.
We're doomed.
That's exactly right.
It's over.
So the good news here, if I can.
Sure.
Find some good news is we're almost to 2022,
mm-hmm.
and presidents historically get smacked
mm-hmm.
When they get to congressional elections in their midway through their first term. And I think with all this stuff that's going on, not only is that tradition going to be upheld, but I really think Democrats are going to get absolutely clobbered. I think Kevin McCarthy will be the next Speaker of the House,
mm-hmm.
and if he survives his caving on the debt,
right?
Mitch McConnell will be the majority leader, and then that's a different ball of wax in terms of dealing with the president.
Can I ask you one last question, just out of left field here, real quick? Can you comment about the dangerous game they're playing with Sinema and Manchin? Because they have a tied Senate. If you make one of these two overly angry or concerned, you could doom your majority now.
Yes, you certainly could. And this business of following her into a bathroom and doing all this kind of stuff. I mean, that kind of thing ought to be instantly condemned. And the fact that it's not, and Bernie Sanders doesn't want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I mean, there's a message for her right off the bat.
Oh, unbelievable. Great stuff. Jeffrey Lord, we always appreciate your insights, your context, and you make us all think and get smarter. I appreciate you being here, my friend.
Okay, my friend. Talk again.
Take care. That's Jeffrey Lord.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. It is the Brett Winterbull Show. I got this question that was flown into me, and I want to answer the question because I want to be full service person here with the audience. Brett, what do you think about Mitch McConnell caving to Chuck Schumer and doing a deal to extend the debt into December? What do I think about this? I think it's not going to really matter. So here's the way it's written up by the USA Today. Whenever I see USA Today, I always want to say, tomorrow the world. So USA Today, tomorrow the world. They've written it up this way. Schumer announces deal with Republicans to extend debt ceiling into December. This is Savannah Berman, Michael Collins, USA Today, tomorrow the world. Senate Democrats announced Thursday that they will move forward with a short-term extension of the debt limit, accepting an offer from their Republican counterparts to avoid the economic chaos that would come if the United States was unable to pay its bills. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer said Democrats and Republicans reached a deal to extend the debt ceiling into December. The Treasury Department said that if Congress didn't raise the nation's limit on borrowing soon, the United States would start defaulting on debt for the first time since October 18th. It's our hope that we can get this done as soon as today, said Schumer on the Senate floor. The plan would need to be voted on in both the House and the Senate before it goes to Joe Biden's desk. asked in Chicago whether he would support the plan, Biden crossed his fingers and said, "We got to see if the deal is done. I'm not sure of that yet. Come here, let me sniff your hair." A vote on the short-term extension was not scheduled. Sorry, that was disrespectful. The deal would merely postpone a long-term decision on the debt limit. Congress would need to act on another debt limit solution by December to avoid another risk of default. So what do we think about this? I'm going to tell you what I think about this. I think Chuck Schumer is going to rue the day that this was done, and I'm going to tell you why. So you know how when you got a teenager and they got a big paper due, some of the teenagers are really good and they'll write the paper with plenty of time to go and 2 weeks before it's even due, that's done and it's sitting in their folder. And then you got regular teenagers who will start writing it at 8:30 the night before it's due. I was always that guy. So you can start writing it. In fact, you know what they'll do? They'll do like 4 o'clock the day before it's due. They'll say to their mom or dad, "Can you drive me to the library? I got to do some research for a 16-page term paper that's due tomorrow." That's Chuck Schumer and the Democrats. Okay, that's what we're talking. I'm sorry, but you have to understand the Republicans and the Democrats. The way their caucuses and conferences are ordered are completely different. You have stark divisions inside the Democratic caucus in the House and in the Senate, right? You have so-called moderates in the House, and then you've got moderates in the Senate. But you have controlling the caucus in the House, kooks, and the people who are controlling the caucus in the Senate are mostly people that just want to keep the job that they've got because they can't really get out there into the real world and get a real job. So why do I say this? What comes after December? Can anybody tell me what comes after December? January. And what does January signify? It signifies the year 2022. That's an election year. You and I both know, with biblical certitude, nothing big gets done in an election year. It just doesn't. You know why? Those moderates, those 5 moderates in the House, are going to be petrified to pass a socialist bill and then have to go home and defend it in the election against the Republicans that are going to challenge them. The kooks in the House and the Senate are going to be so angry that they haven't produced any goods that Bernie Sanders and AOC are going to be marching with pitchforks and torches in the House and in the Senate, making the left get as far left as they can. What you basically did with McConnell, because McConnell, I'm not a fan of McConnell, just in general. But what McConnell is he's a really smart mechanic when it comes to the way the Senate functions. And this is a guy who was able to hold open a Supreme Court seat for basically a year until he got the outcome that he wanted. That's a guy who understands the mechanics of the Senate like nobody else. He knows the Democrats are not going to get Sinema and Manchin to jump on board with this socialist package between now and December. So what's going to happen? It's going to become 9:30 at night, the day before the 16-page thing is due, and panic will set in. At this point, the high school kid is copying Wikipedia entries just to fill pages. You're going triple-spaced, 20 font, to write that paper to make it hit the 16-page mark. And the thing is, you will get really bad legislation done in that regard because you also have what is that thing that you have? You have a calendar in the Congress. They don't function like we do. Like you and I are sitting here right now and it's October 7th. So November 7th, December 7th, January. Basically, you got 3 months to get stuff done, but they take recesses and codels and riots and whatever that they do there up there. They got like 4 working days between now and January. I mean, honestly, they do. It's how they function. So I think they're in a real bind now. What Chuck Schumer should have said was, you know what we're going to do? We're going to do a 1-year package with all this spending and then double dog dare the Republicans to defund all these programs in an election year and the people want free stuff and blah, 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 blah. That's what he could have done. Instead, he's going to be like, no, we're going to go for the 4 years, $7.9 trillion spending, because Bernie's going to throw a shoe at me if I don't do that. I'm telling you, they're going to make bad decisions because they're panicked. You ever taken a cab to a car dealership to buy a car? You don't want to take a cab to a car dealership to buy a car. You don't want to pull up in front of the car dealership and get out of a taxi cab and say to the first salesman you meet, I need to buy a car. Because he's going to look at you and be like, you need to buy a car. Come with me. Got an awesome 79 Pinto for $32,000. I'm Brett.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
It is the Brett Winterbull Show, News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. Great to be here with you, 704-570-1110. Hour number three underway. I will be with you all the way to 7. I'll be in for Mark Garrison on Charlotte at 6. We'll have previews of the program coming up later on. It is great to be here with you. I am happy to be joined by our very good friend, our comrade, Breaking Brett Jensen, Brett underscore Jensen, who joins us now on the line. Brett, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, sir.
Now, Brett Jensen has a very important story that he's about to break, and I want you all to listen up very closely because it's something that deals with safety and young people. Brett Jensen, tell us what you've learned in these last minutes.
So we know that the gun situation has been a problem at MS campuses, and I just got it confirmed through officials that gun number 9 was found today on campus at an elementary school. Now, I will say this. It wasn't on a student. There seemed to be
Hold on. We're losing you. Hold on. Okay.
It was not on a student.
What's the story?
It was not on a student. There was some strange activity, some activity going on around campus. Police showed up, and while casing the joint, as they say in police lingo, as they were casing the school and looking around for a particular people, they found a gun in bushes at an elementary school. Now, the elementary school is the very same school that had the name change yesterday at Charles H. Parker Elementary. It used to be known as Behringer Academic Center, but it was still found at an elementary school. The school went on lockdown for a couple hours. So, again, at this point, it doesn't appear that it has anything to do with any CMS student. There's no indication that it does. But at the same point, the fact that gun number 9 was found today at an elementary school for CMS, I mean, that's obviously a very scary situation for parents.
Do we know where on the property it was specifically found? You said some bushes, but would it be near an entrance? Would it be near a gym? I mean, do we know what part of the property it might have been found in?
Unfortunately, I don't have that information. Mm-hmm. It was just all I was told it was found outside the building, mm-hmm. on school property in a set of bushes. And I don't know if the bushes may have been, 200 feet away or
right.
10 feet away. I don't know.
This is incredibly disturbing. I mean, news. The fact that it's that close to a school where young children are gathered for education. What's the sense that you're getting from either law enforcement, CMS, obviously we're happy that this gun would be interdicted, but certainly this is a very serious matter.
No, it really is a very serious matter, and because it was an elementary school, CMPD does not have a school resource officer there, and so that's why CMS Police Department, because they have their CMS has its own police department, mm-hmm. the CMS PD is actually handling this investigation. But once they finish the investigation, then they have to turn the report and file the report with CMPD. And so CMPD is still waiting on their official report from the CMS.
All right. Anything in particular that we should be watching out for in the coming coming hours or the next day or so?
I will say this, that, tomorrow Olympic has a home football game, and There seems to be a little concern that there might be more protests going on at the football game because of what's going on with the high school volleyball team and all those girls being suspended and some quitting because they were suspended for participating in the protest last week, Friday. So there's concerns that there may be more of a more protests going on at Olympic High School tomorrow night. And then on a good note, on a positive note to take you into a Friday, newly acquired cornerbacks Stephon Gilmore for the Carolina Panthers, defensive player of the year for the NFL. He's expected to meet and talk to the media for the first time in about 15 minutes.
Wow. Will you be monitoring that conversation?
We will be monitoring that conversation, yes, sir.
Right.
As a matter of fact, I just left Bank of America Stadium. That's why I'm on my phone.
All right, so let's, you know, I'm going to be in for Mark until 7, so if anything develops on this school gun situation or on the Stephon Gilmore, we'd love to have you back on to break that down for us.
Absolutely, will do.
All right, that's Brett Jensen out there digging up all the stories. I'll tell you what's amazing about Brett Jensen. The guy comes up consistently with new stories and stories that he's breaking on behalf of WBT and WBT News. He's scooping a lot of other organizations out there because he's doing the work getting out there on the front lines of news gathering. You know, he's not sitting here reading through the newspaper and cutting out articles and then repurposing them and things like that. And I'm not trying to imply that there are a lot of people who do that, but the fact of the matter is he's not doing that. He's out there running his sources down and finding out, you know, what the situation is. Some people will use a term like this, for example, TJ. They'll say, what's the sitch? You know, what's the sitch? I mean, I know that's a very popular phrase. Yeah. Mike the Situation himself used to refer to it as the sitch. But they will, you know, getting out there and digging up the stories is a hugely important thing. It's a hugely important thing, and we gotta be well aware of that at every possible turn. I mean, because we are talking about you know, a number of huge things that are going on here in real time, and we're tracking these stories. Now, listen, I want you all to participate in something very special tonight at 7:30. It's time for WBT's Talktoberfest 2021. Join us each Thursday in Talktober for a special virtual conversation with the WBT team. Tonight, Bo Thompson and Pete Callender will be live on the WBT Facebook page starting at 7:30 p.m. You're going to see them. You're going to hear them. They'll be discussing the news of the day and taking your questions on just about anything. So grab a pint of your favorite beverage and join us on Facebook tonight at 7:30 p.m. for WBT's Talktoberfest. Think of all the great questions you can ask, the observations, the thoughts. You can plumb the depths. And we're going to all be doing it over the next few weeks here in October, and we want you to be a part of that. That's tonight at 7:30, WBT's Talktoberfest, there on the WBT.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Facebook page. News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. It is the Brett Witterbull Show as we're gearing up for a very special event. We welcome back to the program the illustrious, the well-regarded, the handsome Bo Thompson.
Wow, I don't know what to say.
You just say thank you. You just say thank you. Thank you, Brett. It's it's good to have you back, man. So I want to talk about this for a quick second here because there is Talktoberfest getting ready to jump off here at 7:30 tonight. This is the first outing on the Talktoberfest. It'll feature Bo Thompson and Pete Callender interacting with the fans, with the folks, over at the WBT Facebook page.
That's right. I'm going to show Pete what this whole crossing the streams thing is all about.
This is going to be good. This is going to be good. So are you prepared for, you know, questions, commentary, analysis? Are you going to try to stump the audience with some items? I mean, how are you going to play this thing out?
Oh, no, I have no intention of stumping anybody, especially Pete. You know, Pete's deep dive. You know, you guys are the ones that flesh through the meat and potatoes of these mm-hmm. issues. I told Pete, I said, you know, my daily routine and MO has always been to try to hit the commuter with all the information so they can discuss at the water cooler, and then, you know, you listen to later into the day, and you get into some of the details and the weeds of some of the stuff, and that's what, you know, I listen to you guys, you and Pete and everybody else and Vince, and you know, I learn stuff when I listen, but I think it's going to be fun to kind of cross his world with my world, and yeah, we'll take questions and anything is what is it, hashtag ask us anything?
Yes, I think that's what it is. I think that's it right there. Let me ask you. I'll ask you a question. I'm not going to ask this on the platform because it's for the audience to ask, but I'm going to ask you because I'm always curious about this sort of stuff. You're a broadcaster. I'm a broadcaster. Do you still get the butterflies? Do you still get that feeling like when you're starting up, like boom, here we go, you know, and you get that rush in the morning? Do you still get that, or on big news events?
Every day.
Yeah.
Because I think about who came before me.
Yeah, yeah.
I grew up listening to this station. I revere so many of the voices that have been on the station. It's not that I get butterflies about whether I can do the job. It's that, you know, it's a combination of all the people who've done it before, and I have this standard that I know I've got to uphold. So it's not, I've been doing it almost 10 years. You've been doing this a long time. I think you and I know how to do it in our sleep, but doing it for WBT is a different thing than doing it many places.
That's really well said. That is hugely well said. I'm honored to be in this seat every single day because of what this station means to this community, to broadcasting, to the country itself, and to those of us who are just unbelievable radio fans. I mean, you know, you and I are radio junkies, and it's an incredible thing. Can I depart? I was going to give you like a couple of different stories we were going to talk about. Can I go to something else instead, though? Because you're going to appreciate this. You're going to appreciate this, Bo Thompson. Last night, Dodgers Cardinals. Okay, last night they're playing. Max Scherzer does a post-game interview over on, was it on TBS? Is that the TBS that had the game last night?
Yes, and I heard you say this earlier. I know where you're going.
Oh, dude, this is so good because everybody in broadcasting has had this happen to them. This is Max Scherzer trying to answer questions, and he sounds incapacitated, but he's got a good reason.
In the fourth inning, I felt like I got in direction better with my elbow, and so I felt like from then I was starting to execute my fastball to my slider, and so at that point that's when I felt like I was starting to executing pitches better. But hats off up to the Cardinals for their ability to, you know, spoil pitches, foul off pitches, and just extend at bats.
So that's a mixed minus issue, obviously. But he's standing there with no shirt on. He's got the headset on, and it looks like Max, you might have hit it a little bit early in the clubhouse, you know, before you came out on TV. That is a nightmare situation for anybody in broadcasting if you're getting yourself fed back to you while you're talking.
Well, we should say here, and I didn't know this until well after the fact, but when you and I first started doing our segments in the morning, I know for a fact, and you wouldn't say this because you're such a pro and you fought through it, but you and I were talking one day, and we realized that the first couple of, I don't know, weeks or maybe even months that we did our morning chat, you had that happening to you, and I didn't realize it, and my producer for many years, John Moore, who's best in the business, he didn't realize it. But you powered through it, and so I think we fixed it by now.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I had the same thing happen this morning on my show with Pete Callender. You know, this is inside baseball and engineering stuff, but for the point of your story, something with what Pete was using to talk to me today was on a different channel or wavelength than what mm-hmm. we usually use. You know, you and I talk every day, so we have this routine down now, but, you know, Pete doesn't usually come on my show on a regular basis unless I ask him like I did today. And people listening could hear we were having issues, and both of us were doing what you have to do as a broadcaster and kind of fight through it. But, yeah, when I heard that earlier, the first thing I thought was, well, I've been down this road before. And the second thought I had was, well, thank God I've never been down that road having, a little bit of alcohol playing with it, too. So I can't imagine those two forces coming together. That can't be good.
There's a couple of times. It goes on for a fairly long period of time. I don't want to play too much of it, but he says twice, can you fix the echo? Stop the echo in my ears. And you realize that's what it is. All you got to do, if that ever happens to you, is just put your headphones on top of your head, like on your temple, so you still kind of can pick up what the question coming to you is, but you're not going to hear yourself drive yourself crazy. That's, you know, that's it. I mean, it's a tricky situation all the way around. Bo Thompson. So who do you got? Who do you have coming up on the program tomorrow on the Friday edition, right?
Yeah, Friday edition. Sean O'Connell, my longtime movie critic, has seen the new James Bond movie, which finally opens up tomorrow. It's one of those movies that's been kicked down the road for so long because of, you know, COVID. It's finally hitting theaters, so Sean has seen No Time to Die. And then, of course, final hour on Fridays is Charlotte's most beloved, Mr. Hancock. And the last thing I'll say is, I got to tell you, that topic you did yesterday with, you know, choose the superpower or whatever it was.
Yes.
You know, Jensen and I talked about it today, and then I heard Callender talked about it today. So your show is basically show prep for the entire station.
Well, you know, I ask those questions that people are most concerned about asking about in public.
Yeah, the public has to weigh in.
That's it. You got to weigh in. All right. Enjoy Talktoberfest. I'll be watching. I'll be listening. I'll be enjoying it. And I want to encourage everybody to join.
Heckle me?
No, I will not heckle you. But make sure they give you the right feed in your ear, because otherwise you're going to be like, Pete, it's really good to be here on Talktoberfest. And they're going to be like, whoa, Bo dove hard into the Talktoberfest.
Yes, I am not going to. It's Talktoberfest, and it says, you know, grab a brewski, but the host will not be grabbing a brewski.
That's right. That's right. You don't need to do that. That's right.
That's right.
All right, Bo Thompson, enjoy it. We'll be watching and listening, and we'll pick it up mañana.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
All right, man. Talk to you then.
All right. News Talk 1110 993 WBT. It is the Brett Witterbull Show. So let me hit you with something that's coming out, being published, that I think is kind of interesting. And I want to get your reaction to this. Oh, boy. New York Magazine. They're so predictable. They've got this part of the magazine called The Intelligencer. And they have an article. Now, get a load of this. Anybody fighting Joe Biden is helping Trump's next coup. All Republican politics is now functionally authoritarian. Wait a minute. Are you kidding me? Hold on. They're all terrorists now? Everybody in the Republican Party is a terrorist now? How can that be the case? I don't even have to read the article, because I know what's going to be implied, argued, said. It's Jonathan Chait, who's a reliable pinko commie leftist. But the headline, anybody fighting Joe Biden is helping Trump's next coup. All Republican politics is now functionally authoritarian. Okay, good. So if Joe Biden were to decide, you know what we're going to do? We're going to give we're giving Texas and the southwestern states back to Mexico. Now, if a Republican opposed that, is Jonathan Chait going to say something like, oh, you're helping his next coup? All Joe Biden is doing is returning land to the country of Mexico. I mean, and seriously, what are you doing? If you find out that he's going to let Taiwan get conquered by the PRC, then, well, if you stand in that way, you are part of the authoritarian menace. You're part of the problem. Glenn Greenwald, who you'll see from time to time on with Tucker Carlson, he's channeling something from a couple of decades ago, and he says, either you are with us or you are with the terrorists. This is just lunacy. One of the poll quotes, for the time being, there's no form of Republican politics that is consistent with democracy. Really? For real? I don't know any Republicans that weaponized the NSA, the CIA, the FBI, the 17 surveillance and intelligence agencies that were weaponized against a sitting American president. And before that, somebody who was only guilty of running for the presidency of the United States. So if you guys want to start going out into that swamp, just understand, it stinks, it's slimy, and it's going to get all over you if you are a progressive trying to say that it is a one-way road here. Lois Lerner and the IRS spying on Tea Party people, anyone? A group of people, when Joe Biden was vice president, who were so hateful toward the Second Amendment and the right to keep and bear arms, that they willingly, in the form of Eric Holder, they willingly sent 3,000 guns into the hands of the Sinaloa cartel to murder not just thousands of Mexican nationals, but an American Border Patrol agent in Operation Fast and Furious, an administration so corrupted that they would not render aid in Benghazi, an administration so corrupted that among their first order of business was to issue a BOLO warning to local law enforcement around the country from the Department of Homeland Security, warning people in law enforcement that returning military vets coming back from Afghanistan and Iraq ought to be surveilled because of the likelihood that they would become terrorists? Really? All of that was done in the name of the Democrat Party. How about a year ago, 2 years ago, as Adam Schiff concocted a phony impeachment distracting the United States intelligence agencies and, of course, our Congress with a fake impeachment while COVID was beginning to rage over in communist China? I mean, we can go down this list. We can go down this list. You know, it's going to be quite something here, folks. It's going to be quite something. You know that there's conversation about impeachment, right? And I don't think impeachment is necessarily the way to go. But I've talked to people back in D.C. who have a different approach to the impeachment question. And the impeachment question that that they have is this notion that, well, we don't have to impeach Joe Biden. We could impeach Merrick Garland. We could impeach Mayorkas. You could impeach the vice president, because these are people who have been intimately connected to the failed border situation. Oh, I mean, that's entirely possible. I mean, you could end up with a Republican House and a Republican Senate and Joe Biden as president, and they could impeach the vice president. And they'd have to have another person elevated to the position of vice president. I mean, there's a number of things that could be done. If you really want to get down into, like, dirty pool, you can do it. Or you can try to make the country stronger. But I'm telling you this right now, this notion of all the Republicans are helping an authoritarian model of politics. Really, everybody's doing that. Everyone, all the time. See, when you start in with the everyone and all the time, you lose the political argument. You just lose the political argument. You don't have the high ground any longer. And I'm telling you, I think the single solitary worst thing that could have happened to the United States of America in these last 257 days or so was the opening of the southern border. Because this will cause a catastrophic problem, especially if, as expected, during the month of October, you end up with another 200, 250, 300,000 people coming into the country. At that point, the Democrats in the House and the Senate ought to tender their resignation, because it will be a full, complete wipeout come November 2022. And I can tell you that people who are patriots do not want to see the predicating circumstance and don't want to see the latter circumstance. They are people of goodwill. I'm a person of goodwill who would like to see the country stronger, not weakened.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Oh, you know what that means. It's that time. What time is it? Oh, I know, your favorite time of the whole day, right? Because, well, no, yes and no. Yes, that's true. It is my favorite time of the whole day. This time tomorrow will be my favorite time of the whole week, because I get to hear Charlotte at 6 coming up here next. Okay, Brett, you're not gonna win me over with your faint praise. Faint praise? What are you talking about? All I'm saying is, it's my favorite time of the day. We get a look to find out what's coming up on Charlotte at 6. Brett Winterbull's in from Art Garrison. Hello, Brett. Hello, Brett. So what do you got coming up on the show? Well, you know, gun number 9 has been found. We'll check in with Brett Jensen. Oh, yeah, you had Brett on with you just a little while ago. We're going to see if he's got any more developing information. You're right, that's true. That and Stephon Gilmore coming back to the Panthers. So we'll be hitting that. We're also going to take a look at Talktoberfest, which is going to be coming up here, and some of the other big stories that are out here that may be overlooked. You know, there's a couple of issues right here in Charlotte that really need to be addressed, need to be looked at. I think that's a really good idea, by the way. What's a really good idea? Talking about the local issues, because it is called Charlotte at 6. I know it's called Charlotte at 6. That's why we're going to talk about some of these local issues. I mean, I don't want to cause any problems. Hey, can I ask you a question, Brett? Sure, go ahead, Brett. Do you ever get mix minus in your area, like the slow feedback stuff? No, never. I've never had that problem. I'm better than Max Scherzer. Okay, enough of you. We'll hear you coming up at Charlotte at 6. You got it. That's Brett Winterbull. He's got Charlotte at 6 up for Mark Garrison coming up later on. Hey, don't forget, it's time for WBT's Talktoberfest 2021. You're going to join us each Thursday in Talktober for a special virtual conversation with the WBT team. Tonight, it's Bo Thompson and Pete Callender. They'll be live on the WBT Facebook page starting at 7:30 p.m. They'll be discussing the news of the day and taking your questions on just about anything. Grab a pint of your favorite beverage and join us on Facebook tonight at 7:30 p.m. for WBT's Talktoberfest. I'm going to be on there too, but not tonight, which is probably good because you've already got two hosts there. If you put third one in there, you start to get problems with the mix minus, and I'll start talking all silly. 704-570-1110. Can I just tell you, many of you are very familiar with the challenges of a family business. You know, a family business can be a really tricky thing. This sounds like I'm setting up a commercial, doesn't it? But, you know, family businesses can be incredibly complicated things, incredibly difficult things that you have to balance when it comes to managing your family business. You know, for example, let me give you a good example here. You have family businesses that have been around for generations, and each new generation, they kind of feel like it's their responsibility to be part of the family business. Maybe they don't want to do that. Maybe they want to dance. Maybe they want to become a writer. Maybe they want to play a professional sport. Perhaps they want to get involved in some of the lucrative hobbies out there. Scrimshaw. Scrapbooking. You know, things like that. Whittling. And then there's these guys who I think may have it the hardest at all. I mean, you've heard of a family where great-grandpa was a doctor, and grandpa was a doctor, and dad's a doctor, and now you're a doctor, and you want this person to become a doctor. You know, it's like, that's the family business. We're accountants, we're lawyers, we're doctors, we're all these sorts of things. Well, apparently, this reporting coming out of New York by, interestingly enough, though I think there's no relation, Lee Brown from the New York Post. Does she maybe have a second line of work? Maybe she did write this. Very possible. Old New York mobsters reportedly fear handing over the reins to their phone-obsessed soft millennials. The mafia's got a problem with handing the mafia business over to the millennials. It starts out, the Utes ain't all right. Seasoned New York mob bosses are reluctant to make made men out of millennials who they worry lack the street smarts and ruthlessness of their predecessors and are too obsessed with their cell phones. The five families are fearing handing over the reins to the new generation of mafiosi because they're softer and dumber, having grown up in the suburbs rather than the city streets, and are too attached to technology. This is according to sources talking to the Wall Street Journal. Wait a minute. You can't do that. Tony Soprano sat down with the Wall Street Journal. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Tony Jr., I don't know what to do here. So here's what they say. According to a former made member of the Colombo crime family. Everything on the phones with them. Court records even show one Colombo associate completely eschewing the code of silence while threatening a union official over extortion collections, all in easy-to-prove text messages. The outlet said, so here's the text. They're text-shaking down people. So they're actually putting it on their phone. Hey, this is the second text. There isn't going to be a third, the associate wrote, according to court records. I'm sure that is frowned upon in mob circles, former FBI agent Richard Frankel said of the apparent incriminating texts. Last month, alleged Colombo consigliere Ralph DiMatteo, 66, was forced to hand himself in on federal racketeering case a day after his son tweeted a photo of him relaxing in a Florida pool. These fears of incompetence have led to the elderly big bosses clinging onto power and putting the mobs at risk, according to an FBI agent named Scott Curtis. Wait, that's also what's happening with the White House. You got this aging boss. He doesn't want, who does he not want to hand it over to? Hunter. So, you know, Biden's like, hey, you think I don't want to go down to Palm Springs, ping pong? You don't think I want to go to those places with a palm paddle and a palm frond? You don't think I want to go sit there in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, and drinking a sippy drink? Drinking a drink with a flower and a... You think I don't want to get a lay and sit at the... where you're beautiful. Let me smell your hair. Listen, no, really. You know, I could have been a coach at Ohio State. Anyways, here's the thing. I don't want to be the boss forever, but I got Hunter. Hunter, are you kidding me? You know what he's going to end up doing? He'll end up, you know what he'll have the whole operation. We'll be trying to sell our influence. And the next thing you know, he's going to do like a leveraged buyout to the FBI. I can't have that. I'd like to retire too. You think I like this? You think I like talking to Jen Psaki? I don't even know who she is. Mommy, where's mommy? You think I don't want to sit around? And I'm smart. I'm not like they say. Curtis says it's a factor in the alleged Colombo boss Andrew Mush Russo's downfall. The wise guy who was arrested last month over accusations of labor racketeering, extortion, and money laundering had been micromanaging the feared family even at the age of 87, according to Curtis, who investigated the family operation for years. Crime family soldiers also appeared aware it created problems, with one alleged member recorded pushing for Russo to be replaced, saying, okay, here you go. Think Biden again. The problem is that old man. He wanted to be the boss for his whole life. Hey, you think I like talking to Putin? You think I like talking to Kamala Harris? What do you think it's like whenever I wake up and there's Nancy Pelosi standing over me telling me I got to do this, I got to do that? I want to relax. I want to go to Jersey. I want to sit on the beach. I want ice cream. I just want to eat ice cream. Is that so hard? Right, that's going to do it for me. I'm Brett Winterbull. It's been a pleasure being with you today for the last 3 hours. Coming up next, Brett Winterbull in on Charlotte at 6. News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT.